Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Welcome, everybody, to What's Brewing, a show where we can say whatever we want. A sports show where you can say whatever you want. How novel of a concept is that? But that's what we're here to do for you. We will give you that opportunity for the next 2 hours. Give us a call, 646-929-2192, or email us at whatsbrewingshow@AOL.com. The show starts now.
And a very good morning, everyone. Welcome to... What the hell are we calling this? It's a Brewing Jägermeister show. Here on the venerable Blog Talk Radio, I am George Brew. Jim Haig will join me in a couple moments. We've had this idea. You know, it's funny how life gets in the way of doing what you actually like to do. I'd rather be doing this than real work, but you know, this doesn't pay as well. So, here's where we go in sports right now. A great moment was had Friday night in Anaheim. Their first home game back after the passing of Tyler Skaggs. It was very... very important that the players get their closure. We don't need to see an autopsy done. I mean, they did one, but we don't need to see the results. We do not need the results and everything because, you know, it's not important to normal people. And you already have places suing for the results, to get the results faster. You've had news outlets in California writing opinion pieces to talk about their guess and what happens. People start threatening to sue. It's messy. Let's keep it. Family suffered through enough. We don't need to put them through this. I'll take a shot of Jägermeister, please. Do I have?
I love.
Now that you're like names on the show, do I actually have to play the intro?
No, that's okay. Unless you want to.
Sure, why not? Since you like
okay,
it more than anybody.
I like it a lot.
Checking in on the original Sinsider What's Brewin' hotline, the man who has too many jobs to mention. But I will mention that he is a best-selling author in Italy, which is like having a girlfriend in Vancouver named Alberta. Right, guys? The one, the only Jim Haig.
That's me.
I do it for you. I do it for you, Jim.
Thank you. Best-selling author in Italy. There's a title that'll never go away. It'll never go away.
No.
Number
too many jobs to mention.
In the top 10 list in August of 2005. That was me.
So when Hurricane Katrina hit, it just wiped that away for you.
Yeah, it did. Totally.
See? Oh, so we can blame you for it.
Okay.
Hey,
wouldn't be the first time I'm blamed for something, you know.
Let me throw this at you before. Oh, you know, nothing wrong with being blamed for stuff. But let me ask you this question, Jimmy. Before we get into, like, really what we want to talk about, though, I happened to go down the rabbit hole the other night of, hey, what caused Tyler Skaggs to pass away untimely?
Mm.
And
we
then I
know.
See, and we don't know yet, and you know what? At this point, I don't think I want to know.
I think everybody's got to know. I think eventually you got to know.
You know, I say I don't want to know because of this. Do we need to?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a great story now. They throw the combined no-hitter. Does that go away if something bad's there?
If it's bad, if it's really bad, we should know about it. If it's drug related, we have to know about it. If it was just a heart attack, we got to know about it. We got, you know, so some way, somehow, we have to know. We have to know.
Okay. All right, now on to the fun stuff. Oh, by the way, there's the gentleman's title at Wimbledon. Do they, like, put their pinky up when they say that, too?
That's pretty
third
funny.
Set. Thank you. Third set, it's tied at one. Federer's up 5-4 in the third set. I don't know what any of that means because I don't watch tennis.
Well, I mean, they both won a set, and that
I know that,
and that he's up to the third set. And now, if you put on Wimbledon right now, you get to watch people drinking.
Mm-hmm. You can do that in my house right now if you want.
Djokovic won the first set 7-6. Federer won the second set 6-1, and Federer's winning the third set 5-4. So. And Djokovic continues to make unforced errors one after another. And the other thing was I was watching the first set for a little bit, and that entire crowd is all rooting for Federer. It's like, you know, like it's like Djokovic is almost like the villain. Nobody likes him at all. So.
It's like, is it one of those things where Federer's been around for so long? It's kind of like that part in the end of For Love of the Game. Can Billy Chappell push the sun back into the sky one more time?
Yeah, that's what we're looking for. That's, you know, exactly what we're looking for. But I don't know if there's ever been a more beloved professional athlete than Roger Federer. I really don't know if there's ever been one that's been more beloved.
Babe Ruth.
You know, Mike Trout, maybe, but Mike Trout is not as well known as Roger Federer. So I mean, I don't know if there's one. I don't know if there's anybody who's universally as loved as Roger Federer. You know, like LeBron James. You know, is probably 70-30 that people love him, but there are still a 30% that hate him. In the case of Federer, I don't know if anybody hates him.
Wait, is there?
Don't know if anybody. 70,
I would have thought with LeBron there would have been 70% hate him and 30% love him.
No, I don't think it's the other way around. I think it's 70%
because
love him.
My problem with him is he's phony.
He's phony?
He's a phony. I think he's a phony. I think he's a big phony.
Okay. Well, that's your opinion. I don't see that. I don't see the phony at all.
My opinion, I think he's a huge phony. I have problems with people that are phonies, and I've said that about former Yankee captain 100,000 times. I think if you're a phony, like, I look at Aaron Rodgers as a phony. Like, we had this conversation
Rodgers
the other day.
Alan
I think he's
Rodgers
a phony. I think
a phony?
I think so. My opinion.
Wow. Okay.
By
the way, Federer is at set point right now. So he's on the verge of winning the second set, the third set, which would put him in strong position to win. You know, here we go. Because he's not on the serve. If he scores this point, he wins the set, and I think the place will erupt. I think Wimbledon will just absolutely erupt. And that was unfortunately that the, now they're at deuce. So.
Yep.
Oh well.
So now there. It happens. We'll keep you updated on that because, you know, the whole rules thing that we can't give you live play-by-play because we're not rights holders or whatever.
Okay.
Now to the reason why we're here. Jimmy on his blog, Jim Higgs.
We like each other, right? Isn't that the reason
why that's one. That's the main reason we like each other.
Okay.
A couple guys at work said to say hello. I'll tell you later, though. But it was funny because I was talking to somebody that I work with at my quarry job, Barney Rubble over there, said to say hello, and he says, did you read Jim Higgs' article the other day on the women's national team? I said, it's funny, I was just on the phone with him. I can't believe how many people took you to task on that blog. Or wanted to take you to task. And the funny thing is I firmly believe
Djokovic just tied it, so they're so much for Federer winning that set. So okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So on your blog, Jim Higgs Sports, right? What is it? Jim Higgs Sports. Yeah,
right.
Jim Higgs Sports on Blogspot.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if you want to read it, go ahead. We'll put a link in the description page there. You took the task, the women's national team. Good for you. I firmly believe in what you said. A lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people didn't like it, and I couldn't understand why. Because we want everything to be nice and cushy. We want them to win. Obviously, we're Americans, and we like when America wins because then we get to put it in somebody's face because we're that way, especially with sports that we're not really, that aren't big New York or big American sports. But this team had that air of unlikability to it. Whether it was Rapinoe or Alex Morgan towards the end. And the vitriol that you got on Facebook and some of the comments even on that page.
Wow.
I don't understand. Shining happy people, what do they want? Everything to be sunshine.com?
Yeah, no, I personally, I don't know why it took the angles that were taken by the people that were against it. Number one, they thought that because I wrote it that I am pro Trump, which is the furthest from the truth. I don't know where they got that from. First of all, I didn't mention the man's name in the blog at all. His name was not mentioned at all. But yet, if you read the 500 or so comments that were made on Facebook and on Twitter, about 40% of them all mentioned Trump by name. Well, I don't know where the hell they got that from. And then all of a sudden, for the people who thought that I'm pro-Trump, is ridiculous because I'm anti-Trump. I hate the man, and I personally can't see the – I don't understand how he's the president of the United States. I don't understand it. But – because I took a stance that Trump agrees with, made me think that I'm, pro-Trump. Well, I'm not pro-Trump at all. All right, so that's number one. Then number two, they made it seem like I'm anti-gay and lesbian. Now, I don't know where that came from and that why, because I criticized Megan Rapinoe, who happens to be a lesbian, that I'm anti-lesbian. Well, that's not the case. I'm anti-Megan Rapinoe. I don't care who she sleeps with. I really don't care. None of my business. But it is my business when I see somebody who's wearing Team USA on her chest and she's acting like a complete jacket. Okay? And then number three, the criticism that I received was that I ripped into them for running up the score against Thailand, and they made the score 13-0. And they said, you don't know anything about soccer because you can't do anything to prevent a score from being 13-0. And I said, yeah, you can. You don't score. You don't score.
Yeah.
You don't shoot the ball at the net. If it was 8-0, no one would have said a single solitary word about that game, nor would have I. I wouldn't have said a single solitary thing about that game. But because it was 13-0, and because the players, after they scored the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th goals, they were jumping around and sliding across the field and punching their chest and rah, 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 like they had just won the World Cup. They just won. Well, that was my problem. Did they realize that there was an opponent on the other side of the field? No. They acted like they didn't know that there was an opponent on the other side of the field, which, by the way, was only playing in their second World Cup ever, and as a team, they were only together 6 times. So that's good that we get to take the time to rub it in their face and beat them 13-0. And then, to top it all off, drinking champagne and beer on the floats and cursing and drunken, acting like drunken idiots on the day of the parade, just topped the whole thing. It made my point, because I wrote it before the parade, but then they acted like idiots on the parade, the day of the parade, and I just said, you know what, that solidified my point. You know, there's one action on YouTube where one of them drunk because she could barely speak, and she's going, I got the key to the city, take that, bitches, yeah, man. You know, like, come on, and yet people are supporting that. I don't see it. You know, like. There was nothing at all when the other two times we won the World Cup in 99 and then in 2015. You didn't hear anybody complaining about their behavior at all, although Brandi Chastain got a little bit of criticism because she took off her shirt and showed her sports bra. But other than that, and if people criticized that. I had no problem with that, but I certainly have problems with, you know, Alex Morgan running it up and scoring 5 goals. And then, you know, doing the teacup routine. Who does that? Who does that?
Odell Beckham.
Oh, well, yeah.
Odell Beckham.
And I criticize Odell Beckham.
Yes. You know, it's funny.
I criticize Odell Beckham. He acted like a complete jackass and deserved to get criticized. Well, these women, not all of them, you didn't see Carly Lloyd doing that. A good majority of them acted like jackasses and didn't represent our country well. And that's why I wrote the blog. I was embarrassed by it. Embarrassed. And then for people to say, oh, it has nothing to do with patriotism and the American flag. And it has nothing to do with the military. Of course it does. What do you think the military does? They represent our country. They fight for our country. And in some cases, they die for our country. And these clowns are taking a flag and throwing it on the ground and stepping on it, thinking like, no, you know what? I'm going to wear the flag like it's a blouse. Come on. I was angered by that, like nobody else's business. And mind you, I didn't badmouth them. I didn't call them names. I just stated what they did, and I didn't like it. So I wrote the blog, and then sure enough, people made it personal. People were ripping me. People ripping my take on saying that I'm anti-gay and then I'm pro-Trump.
I don't get that at all. I really don't get it. People who said that have no idea who the hell I am. They have no idea. So that's the whole thought process of writing the blog, and I had no idea it was going to cause that much of a firestorm. I had no idea. But it did, as you fully well know. And I've angered people, and some were friends, some were close friends, some were close friends that I really respected, and then wrote, like, one close friend said, congrats, Jim, now you can write for Fox News. Well, I took that very personal. I took that as, like, you know, that was an absolute slap in the face, and that person knew who I am and what I'm all about, and he wrote, still chose to write that. Shame on him. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know where to go there. I think here, this is what's become, and rightly or wrongly, Jim, I am not as part of the media as you are. I do this and, you know, I stay as far away from it as I can. But, you know, knowing you and knowing other people in the media, what people say in this situation, when it comes to this whole, the whole team and everything, if you have an opinion that's not popular, people automatically just don't understand that, hey, remember, this is why we're America. We're allowed to have different opinions.
Right. Well, that's what a lot of the people who criticized me and were supporting Megan Rapinoe saying that she has a right to do whatever she wants with the national anthem because that's part of what we are as free Americans. And I say all the power to her when she's on her own free time. But when she's wearing Team USA across her chest, sorry, she's representing our country. And, oh, yeah, she's the team captain, so she's supposed to be setting an example for everybody else. So, no, she's not setting an example disrespecting the national anthem. And I don't care what she thinks, you know, about the reason why she doesn't want to stand for the national anthem is because Francis Scott Key had slaves and he wrote the national anthem and she can't support it, and that she's also in support of Colin Kaepernick because of the racial injustice that goes on in the United States, which, you know, last time I checked, I think Megan Rapinoe is white. So I don't know what racial injustice she's fighting about. But my point is, George, is that if you are representing the United States of America and you're wearing the United States of America across your chest, and, oh, by the way, you also the team captain, then you know what you do? You put your hand on your heart and you stand there and sing you don't even have to sing, but stand there with your hand
just
on your heart
there
for two blasted minutes. That's all it takes is 2 minutes. Unless you're Whitney Houston, then it takes 3 minutes and 55 seconds. But if you're just regular playing of the national anthem, it's usually done in 2 minutes and 2 minutes and 8 seconds. Well, if you can't stand there as you're representing the United States of America with your hand on your heart for 2 minutes and 8 seconds, what the hell is wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And she's already making statements because she wears her hair purple and green and whatever every game. You know what? All the power to her. That's another right that she has. But do not disrespect the United States of America by not putting your hand on your heart for those 2 minutes while you're playing for Team USA. Don't do it. Don't do it. You want to do it on your own time? All the power to you. That's why we live in America, and that's why we're, you know, land of the free and home of the brave. But you know what? Don't do it while you're representing the entire country. Don't do it. Stand there like you're ready for your team, put your hand on your heart, and listen to the national anthem.
And let's not forget, for all those people that say, you want to say how bad America is, yeah, try doing that on somebody else's national team. Try doing it. Sit in France and do that. I bet you're not playing on that team.
Yeah.
No, we let you do it because.
Did you see the Chilean, The national team of Chile, whose national anthem went longer than what they had recorded in the press box. Okay, so they only had it recorded for, like, I think 3 minutes, but the national anthem runs longer. Well, those 21 women stood on the field and sang it as loud as they could, along with the fans that were in the stands, and they kept singing, and they made sure that that national anthem went to the end. And they kept singing every single word, and the coaches and the players all stood there and sang their national anthem until it was over. Bravo. Bravo. That's national pride. National pride.
Happy because she's Chilean. It made my wife happy because she was born in Chile and absolutely loved that part. Okay. Yes. Yep. So, yeah, no, there's a reason. My wife does not know soccer, but she's got pride because she was born there. But you look at, like, just this team in general. I kind of feel bad for the one girl who got her key to the city stolen and everything, but wasn't it because she left the door unlocked? Like, what did you think was going to happen?
I didn't know that. I didn't know she left the door unlocked.
That's one of the stories circulating. I was like, that's not an inside job if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't know. I didn't know anything. And as it turns out, she lost a wedding ring, which is a shame. But de Blasio has already said that he's going to replace her key to the city. So she'll get her key to the city back.
Oh, that's good. At least she wasn't the one who told everybody.
A wedding ring. I feel bad for her. She's not one of the women I'm criticizing.
No. And that's the sad part.
What's that? Is
the two captains. It's the two captains of that team that are criticizable. They're the two that are catching most of the grief.
Absolutely. That one and the alley long girl who threw the flag on the ground.
Yep.
And luckily Kelly O'Hara came by and saw that Allie Long threw the flag on the ground, and she came running by and scooped it up, but didn't scoop it up fast enough to allow Rapino to step on it.
Once again,
I got criticized by somebody who said, she didn't stomp on it. I said, I didn't say she stomped on it. She stepped on it, though. So then the guy shows me the video, and you watch the video, and it's clear as day she steps on the flag. She stepped on it as she's doing some stupid pose, you know, like hamming it up for the camera. And what does she do? She's doing like, yeah, baby, yeah, and put her hands together. And what does she do? She steps on the flag. Now, then the guy says, well, she didn't know what she was doing. She didn't know what she was doing.
Bullshit.
I
have a bridge in Brooklyn. If you don't think,
but you know what? Watch what you're doing.
If you think that she didn't do it intentionally, I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you.
Oh, there was,
because she did.
She certainly intentionally dyed her hair. Okay, she certainly intentionally did not respect the national anthem by putting her hand on the heart. She certainly disrespected the national anthem in World Cup qualifiers as early as 2016 by taking a knee. And it was only until then USA Soccer stood up and said, you know what, you do that again, you won't play for this team. So you put
the
knee while the game is going on. No coach picked her up and told her, because they said, you know, God forbid we play without her because she can't, you know, she's so important. But USA Soccer said, you know what, you pull that crap again, you don't play for this team. And then she stopped kneeling, but she still disrespected the national anthem by not putting her hand on the heart. And certainly didn't sing.
Yeah, and then, like,
I mean, you think about it.
You don't have
think
to.
About it, George. you think about my thought of the national anthem in sports, okay? I think of Michael Ruzzioni in 1980 collecting the gold medal and then screaming at his teammates, "Come up here, come up here." And he made everybody get up on the platform to stand there as the national anthem was being played. It was only supposed to be for the team captain, and he made the entire team get up on the platform and stand there as the national anthem was played. And as the national anthem was played, he was singing his heart out and crying like a little baby.
And
everybody
and
else stood on that platform. We're all singing the national anthem. You know, that's patriotism.
And let's also not forget that's changed the way the Olympics does the team podiums, because they went to a full team podium after that. Because of that,
oh, really?
All
I
this is how cool
okay.
it is. Yeah. Right. So you look at
I
that.
Didn't
you look at
did a full team podium after that. See.
Yep, that
well,
started
that's,
that.
Thanks,
so, like, basketball. Yep, because they realized how it's not just the singular – because I think they realized this with the team events. It's not a singular team thing. I mean, for as long as I can remember, I mean, in 96, the entire women's gymnastics team was up there. The 92 Dream Team was up there, too. And those guys –
Well, I had some people criticizing me with this blog equating the 13-0 blowout to the Dream Team that when we beat Angola. And
yeah, Christian
went,
Leitner played in that game.
What's that?
Christian Leitner played in that game.
Yeah. Okay, but you
those
know,
guys,
so
they weren't playing their starters the whole game.
Yeah. But we won in a blowout. But can you equate basketball to soccer? Can you put one in one with the other? You can't.
I don't think so.
No. And mind you, too, we're talking about the Dream Team, which was the best basketball team ever assembled, ever. This women's soccer team isn't the best team ever assembled, is it? Is it even the best women's team?
No, I take the. I would take our 99
team
over them.
What's that?
I would take that team put on the field in 99. The 99 Women's World Cup team over them.
With Mrs. Garcia Power on that team? Yeah, I would say so. I think they were better.
Yeah.
Mia Hamm and Brandi Chastain and Julie Foudy and. And Christy Pierce, yeah, no, I'd say that team was a little bit better than the one we put out there this year. Yeah.
And yeah. Also, let's not forget when you look at pre 2013 with the World Cup, the
men's World Cup of 2013.
No, the like you look at the pre, so up to what was it 2011. Right, up to 2011
right.
for the Women's World Cup, it was a smaller field, so you didn't have Thailand to blow out. The only reason
right.
why Thailand's in the tournament is because FIFA wants more money. Well, hey, FIFA, you got enough
they
problems.
They certainly want to have more teams enter the tournament because it increases the pool, you know, the money pool. Number one. But it also gets more people, more teams involved, more people involved. It means more TV ratings across the world. It's not all based upon the United States of America. It's FIFA. It's worldwide.
Yeah, and we don't care about soccer until the World Cup. And even then,
absolutely.
We don't care because the men's team started.
You get the people that are criticizing the fact, well, you know, there should be equal pay because the women's team does so well in the World Cup and the men's team don't. You can't equate one with the other.
Yeah.
It's not same amount of teams. You know how hard it is to make the World Cup? Shit, we didn't make it the last time. We didn't qualify last year. We didn't qualify for the World Cup last year. So, but yeah, they want to. They want to equate women's the women should be making the same amount of money as the men because the men are so poor at the World Cup in World Cup time, and the women win. So that gives them the right to have equal pay.
And let's throw this out. The men play teams with talent. The men's play teams with equal or better talent. The women's team really doesn't. Nobody can equate to that team.
Not even close. You can't equate one with the other. Maybe the only sport you can equate equally, okay? Yeah, women's sports, the men's sports, is the one that's being played right now. Okay? The one that's being played right now, you can equate men's tennis to women's tennis. You cannot equate men's soccer with women's soccer. You can't equate men's golf with women's golf. You can't equate the WNBA with the NBA. You can't do it. It's not even close. And it has nothing to do with talent. It has to do with the revenues that are brought in. And now, just as quickly as we're talking, Djokovic won the third set, and he's winning 1-0 in the fourth set. So.
Ooh. And you know what? Here's the other thing, Jimmy, that I think people forget about with the equation thing. The women's team actually does make more than the men. The problem is that the money pool is a lot bigger for the men. But that's because the women's team plays in Harrison at Red Bull Arena, and the men's team plays at Giant Stadium. So you're automatically getting more people at the games.
That's correct.
Because it's a bigger venue. And whether people are going to see America play, or if America plays Ireland and you get a lot of people who are of Irish descent or, from Ireland, especially in this area, they want to go see their national team play. It's almost like a who cares with the women's team? Like, that's great. You won the World Cup.
Yeah,
okay.
No, you can't
There's
say who
four
cares
other teams there.
Yeah, but you can't say who cares because there were 14 million people watched that World Cup last Sunday, okay? 14 million. All right, so you can't say who cares because that's not fair. But you certainly cannot equate one with the other and say, okay, well, we won the World Cup and the men's team didn't qualify, so therefore the women's team should make an equal amount of money as the men's team. And we're going to sue U.S. Soccer and FIFA to get our equal pay. I guarantee you there's going to be a judge that's going to take that and throw it right out of court. Because it's totally comparing apples and oranges.
Unless, of course,
totally
they get
comparing apples and oranges.
Favorable judge. Which it could possibly find. They could go judge shopping for it. But that's a whole other story.
They can go judge shopping to find a judge that's going to rule in their favor?
Oh, yeah, they can go.
There's going to be one district judge that's going to make a ruling on it, and that judge, they're going to have to abide by it, and if not, then they have to appeal it, and hopefully it can go to the Supreme Court. Well, do you think, with the Supreme Court being right now six conservatives, the three liberals, do you think that that's going to get past the Supreme Court? Hell no.
No, but they could also go to, like,
something to do with Trump. That has something to do with Trump.
But they could also take it to, like, the district court in Manhattan, which is very pro-liberal, or, San Francisco, because there's a couple that, Jimmy, let's not get into politics.
No, George, I'm just saying, but then what will happen is that the case will get appealed, and then if it goes to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court's going to vote 6-3, right down the party line, against them. So case closed. It's over.
Yeah. I look at this whole thing, the two teams that are causing the biggest problem for the USOC, because it's, ultimately it comes down to them, and they're, you know, in USA Hockey, it's the women's hockey team.
It's not USOC, it's a separate entity because they get paid. USOC is strictly amateur.
The Olympics.
It's USA Soccer. It's a total, it actually is the USA Soccer Federation. It's a totally different organization that raises money separately and pays money separately. Because they're able to pay their athletes full time, but they're not. It's not the USOC.
But if it comes to the USOC in the end, because of, you know, this team's going to probably, because they could always say we're not going to play the Olympics.
It doesn't. It's totally separate. It's not Olympic. It's not Olympic. USOC is the United States Olympic Committee.
Yeah.
This is USA Soccer Federation. Two totally different organizations. Two totally different organizations. Okay? All right, go ahead.
True. All right, you're right. I'm sorry. That's a bad point by me. But the two teams that are causing problems for their federations is the U.S. women's hockey team for USA Hockey. They're a pain in the ass. And the soccer team. After 15, the United States Soccer Federation, made some of these girls full-time employees.
They all are.
Let's go back 2009.
All 24 are full-time employees of the U.S. United States Soccer Federation. They're all full-time employees. They all get paid a substantial salary. Some make as much as $250,000. Which is a hell of a lot more than what they get paid to play for Sky Blue in the whatever that the pro soccer league is. They make like $15,000. So if you get selected to play for the United States national team, you get anywhere between $250,000 and $100,000.
Which is still not a bad number to hear.
No.
It's not chump change. And you can really consider it, even when they play for Sky Blue FC or whatever, the NWSL?
Yeah.
I'll revert back to 2009, when softball became a non-Olympic sport. USA Softball said, okay, you want to play for us? You play for us. You want full pay from us? You're not playing in the NPF. They're lucky that they're still allowed to play for this other league. If I'm soccer federation, say, all right, I'll pay you more, but you're not playing in that league, so you're not going to really grow the game. What does that do for that league?
Well, that the National Women's Soccer League, okay, knows fully well right now that they got to capitalize on the popularity of the Women's World Cup. So they embrace the fact that they got players that are playing in that league this summer. There is not a fact. The ticket sales have increased for Sky Blue because there's four members of Sky Blue that were on the women's national team.
And let's not forget, they still have home games.
Rapinoe is on.
All right, and they still have
team that's going to come here. So go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, let's not forget, they still have games left against Alex Morgan in Orlando, and Megan Rapinoe and that team. So no free ads, but tickets are going fast for their 5,000-seat stadium down there at Rutgers.
Right.
If that league was smart, if Sky Blue was smart, and the owner of that team was smart, which I don't think he is, but if that guy was smart, I ain't playing those games at Eurotrack Field anymore.
No.
I would try
to play at Red Bull Arena.
Yep. I would move
those games to Red Bull Arena at least this year because they could sell 10,000 to 15,000 tickets. instead of the 3,500 that go to your check, Bill.
And the fact that they get 3,500 is still more than some Rutgers football games.
No.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
Sarcasm, Jim. It's sarcasm.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Some of those games at the end of last year for Rutgers, there wasn't that many people there. But, you know, like, you look at the way the women's hockey team went after their professional hockey league. And said, well, we want more money. Okay, well, go out and get more money. Bring it in. Find ways to make more money. You can't get blood from a stone.
No.
Man, these teams don't understand it. It's like nobody understands capitalism anymore. It's like, oh, well, we say we should get it, so we should get it. Well, not exactly.
Or better yet,
the sad part is,
we get it. We say you should get it, so we're going to sue to see if we can get it. So we're going to pay lawyers that are going to fight for and use the gender equity national laws that are in place to say that women shouldn't be paid less than men. Well, sorry, when it comes to what they technically are, professional sports, those rules don't apply. Because guess what? I'm going to say right now, I'm just going to wager to guess that Marquise Morris is making a little bit more money than Jim Haig. Just a little bit. I'm not going to say he deserves it because, quite honestly, he's ripping the Knicks off for getting paid $15 million a year. But that's $14,750,290 more than I make.
Yeah. All right. So if you look at,
am I going to law? Am I going to file a lawsuit against Marquise Morris because he's making that much more money than me? No, I know what the pay scales are. Well, these women should realize that, guess what? We're getting what we should get. Not that it should be equal. We're getting what we should get. And it should be equal because the men's team does so poorly in the World Cup and we just won. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah. I mean, really, though, but this is where, like, people who don't know sports, this is why I hate when normal news reporters cover sports because they don't know what the hell they're talking about anyway.
Oh, my God. Bravo there. Bravo.
Like, seriously. It's like,
they send
stay away from sports, please.
Out to cover the parade Wednesday that we're talking about, like, what the soccer team did, and they have no idea what the hell they're talking about. And they're looking, no. They're even looking and reading notes, and they still don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, keep them away from my sports coverage.
Exactly.
Now,
I agree with you wholeheartedly there. And then they try to make it sound like they know what the hell they're talking about. Oh, my God. Oh, geez.
All right. So then we brought up the other day, if you want to talk about they should be paid more, the MLS, which is what, 23, 24 years old now, which I still can't believe it's that old.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Can't believe it.
This is the 25th season of the MLS. This is the 25th season.
The top ten players in that league all make over $2 million a year.
Yeah,
top ten.
Right.
Michael Bradley's second. He makes $6.5 million a year. Jose Altidore makes $5 million. How the hell does Toronto have a salary cap? Jesus. There's three of the top 10 guys and they're all making over $5 million. Hey,
yeah, I don't know about Bradley's salary. Where did you get that from?
I'm looking at it right now from the Denver Post.
Is he still collecting his salary from the European team that bought him out?
Is that included? I don't know.
Yeah, see, I don't know whether or not he's collecting that kind of a salary from the MLS. And I certainly know Josie's not getting that much money from Toronto. I know it. I know it.
Oh. I'm looking at it right now. This is released by the MLS Players Union. This was released by the Players Union from the MLS last year. Josie's making five. Bradley's making six.
Josie's making five.
Yep, his base salary is $5 million.
Wow. And Michael Bradley's is six?
The low. It's 6.5.
Wow.
The lowest paid player on that team is making $54,000.
I would say the majority of them are probably making 75 or less. The majority of them.
Now I have to go back to that page. Hold on. Let me see.
Yeah. I would have
Because I wanted to see what the Red Bull.
The Red Bulls right now probably only have two players that make over $200,000. They got Bradley and they got Kaku. And that's probably it. Oh, no, maybe Robles is making that much money now. But that's it. But that, other right, than that, they got nobody.
All right, let me go back to the Toronto thing. They have seven players making $72,000 or less. Everybody else is making over $100,000.
Wow.
So, I don't. Yeah.
How are they affording to stay alive?
It's Toronto. They're probably doing really well. According to the MLS Players Union, this is last year, the only player making more than $1 million is Bradley Wright Phillips.
He's making over $1 million?
And 1.5 he makes.
Wow. Wow. I'm stunned by that.
Kaku makes 709. 709. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And then, who did you say, Robles? He's making 460.
Robles. Yeah, okay. Wow.
I mean, they should have this year's salaries up, right?
I'm surprised Bradley Wright Phillips is making that much money. I mean, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's a great player for that league, but I'm surprised he's making that much. You know what's really funny? How about go to Atlanta United and look at their salaries, and that's the best team in the league. And they got a bunch of nobodies. They get paid no money. And now we've gotten off on a totally different piece of path, but that's okay. But
no, they have a guy making $722,000.
Atlanta United? Who's that?
$722,000. Let's see. No, this is Hector Villalba.
Wow.
They got a guy making. Darlington Nagby is making $665,000.
Well, he's the best.
Vinny Martinez is making $9 million.
Martinez is making $9 million?
No, he's making $3 million.
What's Victor Martinez making?
Victor Martinez, right? Website sucks. Victor Martinez, you said, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to find him. I love these websites. This is such a pain in the ass. It's like a table in the middle of the friggin' page.
They're the best team in the league, and their salary structure has got to be way less than certainly what you just mentioned about Toronto, and even less than the Red Bulls. Less than the Red Bulls.
Joseph Martinez, is that who he is?
Joseph Martinez, that's his name, yeah.
$3 million.
Is he really?
Yep.
Wow.
This is according to the MLS.
Well,
this is on the MLS players
website. Joseph Martinez is the reigning MVP. So, I mean, you know, he deserves to be making a good amount of money.
DC United. Let's see.
Where's DC United close. They're terrible.
Yeah, but where? Wayne Rooney's making $3.5 million.
Yeah, and he don't even play.
No.
He's hurt.
But he's a draw, and he sells a lot of uniform. He sells a lot of jersey tops.
Oh, he sells a lot of merchandise. There's no question. But he hasn't played. I don't think he's played all year. I don't think he's played.
Because that's why I bought. That's why I'm going to a Red Bull game. I want to see Wayne Rooney.
Okay.
Has he played this year?
I wanted to go see the Colorado Rapids play because Marcelo Borges was drafted by Colorado, and then they cut him. Imagine that, their top draft pick, and they cut him.
No, Rooney's played in 20 matches this year. He has 10 goals.
Rooney has?
That's what ESPN says.
Wow. Wow. I'm surprised. I thought he was hurt.
Yeah. Oh,
but anyway.
Yeah, he started. Yeah. The last game he played was against. Oh, he played against New England the other day. And assist, 3 shots on goal. He had 4 straight games with a goal.
Wow. I should pay better attention.
Oh, you know, that's what I'm here for.
People are going to say that I know nothing about soccer and that I shouldn't talk about what I don't know. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. What are you doing? All right, let's get off of them. Why haven't the Mets fired Brody Van Wagenen yet? Or at least Mickey Callaway?
Callaway, I don't understand, other than the fact that the Mets don't want to pay him for doing nothing. That's just being them being cheap and not want to pay him for doing nothing. Because quite honestly, I think they all realize now that he's a horrible manager. But why they haven't fired Van Wagenen is I think they're going to give him another year.
And let him make one managerial choice?
I think they'll let him make the managerial choice. But I think everybody and their mother knows right now that Mickey Callaway is an absolute lame duck, and he gets fired October 6th or 7th or whatever the hell after the season ends. He's done.
What I don't understand is, I read one article they were saying.
You
how,
know he's the least paid manager in baseball, right?
Is he really?
You know Mickey Callaway gets the lowest salary in baseball, right?
I'm not shocked by that.
Yeah, no, but that's another reason why I think the Mets want to get rid of him. They want to fire him and then have to bring somebody else in with a prorated contract, and nobody's going to take that job just to manage the rest of the year unless it's Riggleman. And then what good does that do? I think if they hire somebody, they got to bring somebody in that's going to manage for the future, and that person's going to want a prorated contract for this year and then 3 years after that. So,
would you be against Girardi?
I don't like Girardi at all. I think Girardi's a bad baseball manager himself. Girardi won in 2009 despite him. And the reason why he won in 2009 is because they were the best team. But so,
yeah.
It's amazing how they didn't win more championships than they did when they only won one under Girardi's watch. They only won one. They were there a couple of times, but they only won once. And obviously, they blew it in 2004, whatever the hell it was, or 5. Was that the year?
Well, that was 4 was Torrey, though. That wasn't Girardi.
4 when they blew it to the Red Sox? Torrey was the manager? Oh, yeah,
he was. Yeah,
that
was Torrey.
He's the one. Torrey's the one that batted A-Rod 8. Right.
Yeah. Well, that was 05, I think he hit him 8.
No, wasn't it 04?
I think that was 05. No, it was 05. I think it was 05. Oh, Federer's up 5-2 in the fourth set.
Yeah, 5-2 in the fourth set. Yeah,
You know, it is weird, though, watching, like, going back to the Yankees, like, post-2001.
Here's set point right here. Oh, no, advantage Djokovic. Right. Okay, stupid me. All right.
You know, it is weird, though, like, when you look at, like, the Yankees post-2002, really, with as much money as they spent, it just never worked again for them. And I don't know what the cause was there.
Yeah,
but I
thought... I have no idea why they have only won once, you know.
And the fact that the Yankees haven't won since...
They won in 2009. That's the last year they won. 2009, right? That's it.
Yep. And it's amazing that they haven't won. And it's mainly because... they kind of went bargain basement for a lot of stuff for a while, and it's not working, and now they got the kids, and they're going to go right back to the highest payroll in baseball because you're going to have to pay Judge. You're going to have to pay Sanchez. They finally paid somebody early, and he hasn't pitched
well,
a game
they,
one
they,
yet.
They paid two people early, and both of them have blown up in their face. They paid Hicks. And they paid Severino. And both of them have now blown up in their face.
I was never a huge fan of Hicks to begin with. That's the funny thing. I think he's just a very serviceable player.
Very serviceable. He's a good defensive outfielder. And he certainly had a great offensive year last year. But I was never a huge fan of his at all. And incredibly, as it stands right now, they're going to let Gregorius walk. And I don't see that. I don't know why, but they're going to let him walk.
I don't understand how you do that. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I don't get it at all. You know, he's done nothing but shine in that uniform, and they're going to let him walk because they have not given him a contract.
Well, let's not forget the last guy that they had that took over for an iconic player. They kind of screwed him, too. But he gave him six good years. So let's not bring up the Tino aspect of this. Because that still annoys me that, hey, we need Jason Giambi because we have to sell a TV network. Oh, so that's what we're in business of now. We're not caring about winning baseball games.
Some reason they love Giambi, and I don't understand it.
That was a Steinbrenner move. There's no doubt
without
in my mind that was a Steinbrenner move.
Without question, we're
starring the Yes Network. We need TV stars.
He was the bright shiny new toy that was out there. So Steinbrenner always had to go out and get the bright shiny new toy. Always.
Yeah.
Always. It was only until they allowed Cashman to do all the baseball moves that the Yankees start to get very good.
Yeah. Is Cashman working without a contract still? Did he ever get a new deal?
Yeah, no, he's working without a contract. Amazing, huh? Amazing. But you could be rest assured that as soon as somebody flirts with him, and saying that they're going to give, you know, they're thinking about giving him a contract, that's when Hal and Hank will get together and say, you know what, we got to pay this guy.
I mean, they've paid him pretty well. I mean,
they're not going to let him walk. They will not let Cashman walk. No way.
He is the longest tenured GM that I've ever seen. Like, he's, I think, even past Lou right now with the Devils. He's been there 20 years.
Yeah, I guess he's the longest tenured general manager. George Young.
How old was George Young with the Giants?
24.
How old was he with the Giants?
24 years
until
he died. Yeah. And then he died. So, Cashman's getting close. Cashman's getting real close.
And you think about it, like when he started, nobody even like thought that he would last. He's been here for 20 years. He's been with the organization forever. It's truly amazing. You can't even blame him for some of the stuff. Because a lot of that time he was there, he still had old man Steinbrenner looking over his shoulder going, we need Kevin Brown and not Andy Pettit. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that made no sense. That made no sense.
No, that made perfect sense in Steinbrenner's theory. He was still pissed at Andy for his kid wearing a friggin' Mets hat because he was on the Mets Little League team. He was pissed at Andy for not making him a Yankee
or something. Well, he was also pissed at Andy that before Andy became an official free agent, he was fielding offers. And that really pissed off Steinbrenner. Like, you know, like before you start going to free agency, you give me the first right of first refusal. And he didn't do that. He started taking offers. And that pissed off Steinbrenner to the point where Steinbrenner said, okay, you want to be a free agent? Go ahead. Go right out there. Go right ahead.
But Andy was a guy they should have locked up before he even got to that point, too.
I agree.
In all seriousness. Like, Andy was one of those guys. Because if you look at the history of the Yankees, you can actually point to one moment and what is the reason why the Red Sox won the World Series. Okay. So
Federer won the fourth set. We're going to the fifth stage for the championship. Go ahead.
You could point to the day the Red Sox ultimately beat the Yankees in Game 7 in 2004. You could point to one moment as to why that happened. It was a cheeseburger meeting with Kevin Brown.
Yep.
Because if you have Andy, and granted, Andy did have to go for Tommy John surgery that year. So it's not like that would have been Andy in Game 7.
No, because he was hurt already.
But there would have been a gigantically big Texan who had 300 wins that could have pitched that Game 7 if you didn't piss off Andy. Or piss on Andy.
Why, you think he would have re-signed with the Yankees?
Yep. The only reason why Clemens retired after 03 was because his intention was to pitch for the Olympic team in 2004.
Yeah, that's
true. Olympic baseball team didn't make the Olympics that year, and there was a handshake deal between him and Cash that said, let me do this, sign me in July, because he had to be on a minor league roster to pitch in the Olympics. He would have came back, pitched in the minors, gotten ready, would have been on the 40-man. September 1st, when the Olympics was over, he would have been back in pinstripes. They didn't make – November was the Olympic
– The most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life, the most amazing, incredible thing I've ever seen in my life, Roger Clemens is in George Steinbrenner's box.
Hold on. John, Jimmy, you don't even have to do that. Hold on. I have that.
Oh, I want to hear it.
But I have it in a funnier version now. Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen, Roger Clemens standing right in George Steinbrenner's box, announcing he is back. Roger Clemens is a New York Yankee.
There you go. Told you it was funny.
There you go. The most dramatic thing I've ever seen. Imagine that. Most dramatic thing you've ever seen. Not pulling that girl out of the well alive. No, that wasn't the most dramatic thing I've ever seen.
The most dramatic thing she's ever seen was Roger Clemens standing in George Steinbrenner's box.
It's one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
I'm going on the record to say that Kate Middleton is a good-looking girl.
No.
Stop.
Yeah. What a shock. Yeah. Not
and I'd rather have Kate Middleton than I'd have Meghan Markle. That's my opinion. That's all.
Yeah. Well, if you read the checkout tabloids, there's unrest with the Queen and Meghan Markle.
What about her?
I don't read the whole thing. It just said she wasn't allowed. The Queen didn't go to the christening or something. I don't know. That they don't like her or something or something.
The reason why, don't you?
Because she asked what's
the reason why
for the 4th of July barbecue?
Like Meghan Markle?
No.
No, the reason why the Queen doesn't like Meghan Markle, you know what it is, right?
Because she asked what was for the 4th of July barbecue?
She asked for what?
Don't make it that easy. She asked what's on the menu for the 4th of July barbecue?
Yeah, and when there weren't chicken and ribs and watermelons, he got upset.
Wait, no, I heard the Queen said what for the 4th of July barbecue.
Does that just make me sound racist? Which I'm not.
Just,
I was just trying to make a joke.
You're
the, the reason why the Queen don't like Meghan is because she is, one-eighth black?
Is that really the reason?
Yeah. Quote, she was quoted as saying, "I can't believe my grandson is marrying an octoroon."
No.
Yeah. And
no.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. They weren't fond of the fact that she was already divorced. Because she was not, if she was already divorced, then she's not royal. Don't get me started on the royals. I could go all day. That might be another thing that will set off an international warfare. Because I don't understand America's fascination with the royals. Please, what are they other than rich snobs? They don't do anything. They don't serve anything.
Yeah.
They don't handle any kind of politics. Well, what good? What are they? Rich snobs.
You know, it's funny because, at my quarry job, I get to talk to people from Britain once in a while. You know, they say we care more about the royals than they do.
I agree.
She's like, I don't understand this. Y'all fought to get away from them, and then you give a shit about them.
Oh, yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, they give a shite about them.
I can't give a shite.
Like, we don't care about them.
Not a full-fledged shite at all. Not one bitch. No. No. When the Queen dies, wearing black, you know? And that old man should not be driving. He's 111 and can't see past his nose. He shouldn't be behind the wheel of the Rolls Royce. And
I can't believe she's still up. You know what? I can't believe she's still alive, but I really think she's staying alive because she wants Charles nowhere near the crown.
Yeah, I agree.
She's like, oh, fuck you.
I can't. Never mind that Queen Elizabeth's still alive. I can't believe that Prince Philip is still alive. And he's got to be
alive. He's like 600
maybe
years
old. He's not alive. Maybe he's dead and we don't know better. But
he's
like
we've been to
before.
It's Weekend at Bernie's.
How old is he?
I'm not Googling that. Let's see. What's his name? I don't even know what his name is.
Prince Philip.
Prince Philip, right?
Right.
Prince Philip age is the top thing I'm talking. 98 years old.
98. See that? And he's driving. He's 98 years old and driving. What the hell is he doing?
Elizabeth is 93. And Charles is 70.
Yeah.
Charles may die before Elizabeth does.
I'm telling you, he's going to die, and then she's going to die the next day because she wants him nowhere near that crown.
Then, incredibly, then if Charles dies before Elizabeth, then William becomes the king.
And I think
not
she's
Harry,
okay with
William.
That. Yeah.
What then?
Of course, William's the older one. I think she's okay
right.
with that.
Of course, because Harry is the one that married a divorced A. He's an octoroon.
I can't believe she said that, though.
I can't believe it either, but she did.
Wait. I can't even find
it. You can't find that quote? Oh, you'll find it.
All right. Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth Octoroon. Type that. See what comes up.
So I just... Nope, can't find it.
Obviously, Djokovic must have a very famous girlfriend or wife because they keep showing her.
All right, let's see. I tell you, now whose wife stole the show at, or girlfriend stole the show? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she's good looking. Did you watch the ESPYs?
No. So who are you going to say stole the show?
Brooks Koepka's girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. I have to go look that up. It's scary because he's a jerk.
Yeah.
Everybody hates him. Everybody. He's a jerk.
And not everybody's Jordan Spieth.
Everybody loves him, yeah. His game has fallen off considerably, but everybody loves him.
I you know, I've said this long time for a very long time about Jordan Spieth. He is the only professional golfer I've ever seen that makes me look like a good golfer sometimes.
Yeah, because when he goes bad, he goes real bad. When he goes bad, he goes real bad. He goes real, real bad. Rory has that too as well. When Rory goes bad, he goes real, real bad.
Well, you know, and that's, I think, as much as, you know, you can love or hate Tiger, that's the one thing that you can always say about Tiger is that you never had that moment of, like, he could have it, like, once in a tournament, but it never turned into what it does for Jordan Spieth.
Right.
Tiger can
I
get
agree.
The yips, and he gets it right back. And I think
right.
it's a mental toughness thing. Maybe he's mentally strong.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that, yeah.
Because even when, you know, granted, and this is pre-Tiger having, you know, when the back problems really started to rear their ugly head. I mean, here's a guy, what did he win that? One U.S. Open on a blown-out knee and still was able to play well and win? Luckily,
yep.
he played Rocco Media. But Tiger, it's just the mental toughness, and that's a mental toughness thing, I firmly believe.
I agree with you.
Because Phil goes to shit.
I'm not a big Phil fan, you know, so I'm the wrong person to talk about Phil. I'm the wrong person.
the one who
I like that's very, very consistent. It's very consistent. John Rahm. If
Francesco.
You look at John Rahm,
oh.
every single tournament, he may not win a lot, but every single tournament he's right there. He's real close. Real close.
Him, Molinari, I would have said pre-10th hole on Sunday at the Masters.
Yep.
Because that guy was annoying. He hits the ball annoyingly straight. He doesn't seem to make mistakes. And then that day, it was just over for him. It was like he finally realized what it meant to play with Tiger on a Sunday at the Masters. And a lot of guys can't do that. That is a very tough position to be in a major major tournament with Tiger looming. It's 20 years now. People are still dealing with it. But the British, the Open Championship is next week because, you know, we can't call it the British anymore because they get upset.
Yeah.
Are you covering the Northern Trust at Liberty National? Or have you ever been down there?
I have a press pass, but I don't know if I'm going.
Damn it. Too bad we don't look alike.
Because I'm not too fond of the what they're going to make us do in terms of parking.
No.
You know, I don't know if
that
you heard.
Terrible.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if you heard what they're doing with the press with parking. We have to park.
No, but I've heard what they do with it.
The military, the old Motby base in Bayonne, and take a shuttle bus from there to the golf course.
Oh,
how
wow.
ridiculous is that? And then after it's over, I got to wait for the shuttle bus to get back to my car. Well, that might take all day. So I don't know if I'm going to go. I got a press pass, but I don't know if I'm going.
That's the thing with that, though, that whole tournament. It's not, for being in Jersey City, it's not accessible by any kind of public transportation.
No, zero.
Unless you're taking the ferry over from Manhattan.
And then you got to walk.
It's just such a shitty place. And there's no parking.
No.
Where at one point they were like busting people from Giant Stadium or something. Didn't they do that for one of, like, for the President's Trophy?
I don't know
or President's
about that.
Cup, wherever.
I know that they definitely use Caven Point, and they use the military parking lot right there, and they use a lot of that. But the press, they're telling us we got to park in Bayonne at the old Moppy base and get take a shuttle bus from there. I don't think I'm doing that. The only thing I think I might do if I want to go is I may use my pull and park in Caven Point.
Yeah.
I might.
Ready? So I just pulled this up. General parking will be located at the Newport Center Shopping Mall parking garage in Jersey City. From the mall, a shuttle will provide transportation to and from the course.
Oh, my God.
Disabled guest parking will be available for guests displaying a state-issued hang tag at Liberty Landing Marina. VIP parking will be located at Liberty State Park, Liberty Landing Marina lot. That's
well, I guess
great.
I'm not
oh,
VIP.
Right. Yeah. And then general spectator ferry transportation will be provided from Manhattan's Brookfield Place Pier to Port Liberty. Spectators will walk onto the course at hole 12 from here. Due to limited parking, it's highly encouraged for spectators to take public transportation. Has anybody told them that path ain't running yet on weekends from World Trade Center?
Is that true?
Yeah,
the
quarry is. No, not from World Trade Center to Exchange Place.
Wow. Oh, that's because you don't run World Trade Center to Exchange Place on the weekends, right?
Hey, the quarry does not do that.
Yeah.
That's going to be an absolute shit. You know what? I'll find that out tomorrow. I'll ask. I'll ask about that because I wonder if they're going to run that weekend.
That'll make it
just
even
because,
worse.
Just because of the ferry part. The ferry aspect of it is why I'll ask. Because
It's a radio. Yeah, I'll ask them. I'll find out tomorrow. Because I just... Hey, leave Frank Fleming alone. He's a good guy. Your guy works. He works in the Essex County Courthouse.
Who does?
That guy. He works for the Essex County Courts.
What guy is that?
The Mets fan guy.
Oh, really?
The one you're referencing, yeah. I've met him. He's a nice guy.
Oh, okay.
Large humanoid, in the words of Bobby the Brain Heenan.
There you go.
Yep. All right there, Hagermeister. I think we're good for today, huh?
I think we're good. I think we, you know, an hour and a half is good enough for me, so.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, brother.
You know, send your hate mail to Jimmy.
Yeah. At ogsmar@aol.com. I'll read everything. Ogsmar, OGSMAR @AOL.com. Send all your hate mail. I'd be willing to read it. So.
I was going to use our old one of go F yourself at euratool.com.
Yeah, no, I'll put my own email down. I don't care. I'll read it.
Huh?
I read every email. Read every email. Good, bad, or indifferent. I'll read it.
Can I just send you one that just says indifferent?
Yeah.
I could send you one that says just indifferent.
I got nothing else to do. I got to read it. So I got to do something. So.
Yeah.
All right, George.
All right,
good talking to you, pal. Glad we could
spend
a good hour and a half with each other on a Sunday morning.
Hey, nothing better to do on a Sunday morning except to go to church or something.
Yeah, I did that already, 7:30 this morning. I confessed all my sins, and I confessed all my sins, and that took a whole hour and a half. So. All right, bro.
All right,
we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Yes, sir. Bye. All right, that was our show for today. Hope you liked it. Hope you didn't. I don't care.